about it, this place called heaven, this place beyond the grave that we all hope to go for. And some people say, I hope I can get to heaven when I die, or I'm trying to be a good person and I hope that I make it. Or sometimes we'll look at somebody and say, you're going to hell, man, you messed up, you know. Or, I just cut somebody off, I'm going to... It's all jokes are made about this kind of thing. But is this place really real? Does it really exist? And we're going to look today, as we've gone all the way through this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, we are at the point where there's been a seven years time period of tribulation, great tribulation. Satan has been thrown into the abyss or the bottomless pit. There's been a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, and then Satan was released for a short period of time to see if those on earth would follow Christ or follow him. A number followed him. They were defeated, and Satan was put into the abyss forever and ever and ever, along with those who were faithless and did not follow Christ, what we call the second death. And after that, that is exactly where we are today. So if you want to look on the program, or it's going to be on the screen, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, we'd be glad for you to look along with us. It's Revelation, the 21st chapter. That is where we are. So all that's happened. Satan's been defeated. Here we are in the aftermath of it. All the people that have followed Christ through all of the ages, through all of time, we're there. And what's next? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. Sorry, surfers. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it's finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the A to Z, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, or sorcery is actually the word, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is the second death. All right, so here we are, and we've got a new heaven and a new earth. It doesn't matter how much you try, you cannot make you a really new you. Now, I encourage people to dress well and take pride in how they look, and I encourage my four boys to practice hygiene and things to that effect as well. But you can put on new shoes, get new glasses, you can go to Goodwill and get a new shirt, you can even get a new haircut, but you're not a new you. You're not really completely and totally made over. But when this day happens, you will be a new you. You will be new physically. Your body has been resurrected. It is reconnected to your soul completely. You're one person, and you are a new you. You are new, not just physically, but you are new spiritually. There's no more sin. There's no more temptation. There's no more fighting this battle of trying to do well, or letting the way we talk about it here, which is the true way, letting God live through you and let the Holy Spirit live through you for you to do as God wants you to do. But that battle that pulls us away, that is no more. There's no more sin. There's no more death. There's no more wrong. There's no more people cutting you off in traffic and flipping you the bird. There's no more of that. You're a new emotional you. And can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. A new emotional you around here. Oh, my dear soul, are people not wigged out? But a new emotional you, a new heart. There's not this sadness. There's no tears in your eyes from mean little boys breaking up with you and things like that, girls. There's no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. There's no more funerals for me to do. There is no more, there are no more tears. It's a beautiful thing. That's the new heaven and a new earth. Now, what's interesting is people, and I do it too, we're always talking about going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven. We're going to heaven, 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 heaven. And we're talking about this heaven, but what we usually are referring to when we're talking about heaven and the pearly gates and the streets of gold, and we'll talk a little bit about that this week and maybe a little next week. All of these things, it's really new earth. It says here, all of the heavens and the earth is gone. And a new earth comes down out of the heavens. This is going to be freaky when it happens. This a huge marble in the sky coming down, and there's going to be a spot where the old earth was. The old earth, the firmament, as the Bible says, it's the heavens, the atmosphere, it's all gone. There is a new earth, and there's no curse. This earth that we live on is cursed because we've brought sin into it, and it is in decay. Now, this earth, this new earth, is not going to have any decay. There's going to be life-giving fruit. There's going to be water. And Jesus says, anybody who thirsts, I will give them the springs of water freely. Now, he's talking spiritually, but he's also talking really physically. We will have physical, real bodies on this new earth as God intended it to be. It's not that God just wants to save you and me or redeem you and me. He wants to redeem all of earth, all of the universe. He's going to redeem all of it. So it will be perfect as it was intended. Here we are. We've got this whole cycle. We had a nice, perfect earth, and we screwed it up. And so now it's in turmoil. But Christ came. He redeemed us. He paid the price for our sins. He reversed the curse. And when he reversed the curse, he didn't just reverse the curse for humanity. He reversed the curse for all of earth and all of the universe, but we haven't experienced the fullness of it yet. This here, we're talking about the full and total, complete redemption of all of heaven, all of earth, and we get to experience it. So next time you go, hey, people come, hey, you believe you're going to heaven when you die? Really mess with them. Say, hey, do you believe you're going to new earth when you die? And they'll look at you like you're from some freaky, nutty cult thing. And they're wondering when the comet's coming by and you're going to have to drink the Kool-Aid and that kind of stuff. Don't do that. It'll mess with people's heads. All right? But this place is real. I'm going to read for you here. It's not on your notes, but it's in Revelation 21. So if you're in your app, you can look on there. It's not on the screen either. But I'm just going to read it real quick. Just kind of take it in that this place. So new earth has come down. There's a new city, New Jerusalem. You know, there's like New England, New York. It's from Old York, from England, Old England. This is New Jerusalem. This is the new one, all right? So let's look here in verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls back when containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me. I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So it's talking about the church or the followers of Christ, the believers. And he talks about us in terms of a person, but the city is also the bride. We're intertwined in their perspective. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. That doesn't seem like good math, but it's right. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. This place is real. It has a real physical measurement. And here they are. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. He measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. Did you know that in the tomb of Tutankhamun, you know, King Tut, that guy, the young guy that died, there was gold in there that was clear? And they say he had some funky stuff. Not only did he do this, it's going to freak you out, but he had like a sword that was made out of a meteor. A meteor had fallen, and they made this sword out of a meteor. So he was like considered like a super god, because even the heavens, you know, he had a sword from the heavens, that kind of thing. But this gold was pure. The gold was so pure it was clear. You can't really find this stuff, but it was in this little king of Egypt's place. And it's said that just that small amount of gold would be equal to the value of all the gold in all the world, because it was so rare that you've never heard about it. I've never heard about it either. That's why I study stuff. The wall was made of jasper, city, pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper and a whole bunch of other things that I cannot pronounce. The 12 gates were made of pearls. This is where you get, you ever heard pearly gates? This is then. The gate from a single pearl. Each gate from a single pearl. That's one big mama of an oyster, right? And the main street was pure as gold, clear as glass. All right, here are the measurements. Furlongs. This translation translated out pretty good. Furlong, a standard means of Roman measurement, about a tenth of a mile. It's still used in horse racing, you know, furlongs. All right, 1,200 furlongs, equivalent to 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. You're going to live in a cube, guys. All right, then he had a cubit. So verse 17, he says 144 cubits wide. So that's about from here to here, give or take. So approximately that. So 17 to 20 inches. So he's saying the wall was between 70 and 75 yards wide, about 3/4 of a football field. That's just the wall. Just the wall, guys. Wall of China, move over. So according to Scripture, the city is this, a guy, Australian engineer named Salem Kerbon did this. Here it is, the Scripture. The city is long enough to stretch from Maine to Florida in all directions and is 1,500 miles high. Eat your heart out, Denver. Therefore, you got that. Therefore, this city is tall enough to contain 528,000 stories. Or floors. So every floor contains 2 million miles plus square miles. Therefore, the whole city would contain 1,188,000 square miles. So that would mean if every person who lived since the beginning of time accepted Christ and went to heaven, that we would currently have 39 miles to live in all to ourselves. There's plenty of room for you. There's plenty of room for everyone. This place is real. It is a real place, and it is actually not heaven. It's the new earth. And this is the moment of all history. This is the culmination of all history. And you want to know what? Something else that is just totally will blow your mind? It's actually not just the moment of all history, the culmination of all history. It's really just the turning point. Because all of history moves to this. And here we are. And the Bible says in Isaiah, the things of the past will hardly even occur to us. It'll seem like when we were preschoolers, if you can remember that far back, some of us. when we were in kindergarten. We see pictures of ourselves when we were 3 or 4 or 5, and it just seems odd, you know. We can't even imagine life like that. It's going to be like that for us. It's going to be very, very real. And it is the turning point of eternal history, because we have all of eternity future beyond that to live. And this experience is just going to seem to be like a little speck, a little fathom of life that was out there. And God is going to be with us. We say God is with us because the Holy Spirit inhabits us, and that's true. But we're talking about God's specific presence. This is like living in the temple. This is like living in the Holy of Holies of the temple. The presence of God literally with us at all times. And not only that, but His very presence is the light. There's no more sun. There's no need for that. In fact, there's no darkness at all. There's no night. Let's read it. Verse 22. I saw no temple in the city. There's no need for a place of worship. The whole place is a place of worship. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. It's like it was in the beginning. Have you ever caught that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Blah, 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 blah. Earth was out form. And God said, what? Let there be light. And there was light. What gave it light? The sun. No, the sun wasn't created till the third day. God gave it light. God gave the earth and the heavens light to begin with. It is what as it was in the beginning. God gives it its light. Did you know that? Did you catch that? How cool is that? The nations will walk in its light. The kings of the world, there will still be government, there will still be functioning, will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there's no night there. Nobody says it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's just always open. So the gates aren't to keep people out. They're just to be awesome. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor in the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are in the book of life. Now let's skip back to here. We talked about the second death. It said cowards, and this word cowards, it really just means the faithless, those who are not faithful, unbelievers, people who don't believe, corrupt, murderers, immoral, those who practice sorcery. And this word is the word that we get the word pharmakia from. And what they would do back in that time, they would literally get high on peyote or whatever they like to get on, and they would have try to get religious visions from that kind of thing. That's when it says practice sorcery, witchcraft. That's what it's talking about. So it's drug use in part too. Idol worshippers, and it says all liars. And this word liars, again, it's a different Greek word. It means somebody who pretends to be one thing and isn't. Or they're false or they're fakes. They pretend to be godly or whatever, but they're in their heart, they're truly not. And that's the second death. All evil is kept from this place. It's a wonderful thing. And I just want to share one thing with you. You know, my sermons have one point because it's all I can really deal with. There is this place called heaven or new earth. There is a future for you and for me. And there is enough space just in the city alone. And we don't know. We may have other places to live too. I don't know. We'll see you there. We'll figure it out. But there's enough space just in the city. Just in the city alone, for everyone to come. And it is not God's intent for us to live this life that we're living on this earth, kind of struggle, limp, and just kind of fight our way through and hope to get to the end and then heaven. Now, it's glorious and it is something to look forward to. And it is something that we all long for we yearn for. And my goodness, every single day, I feel like, man, Jesus, come quickly, this place, oh my dear soul, right? These people, this place, this mess, this government, this president, this last president, these other people, whatever, you know, we can get on everybody before it's all said and done. And at the end of the day, we can look in the mirror and say, oh, my dear soul, here I am complaining about them. Look at me. All right, we can do that. But it is not God's intent for us to limp through life, struggle through life just to get through. And hey, let's get into church and let's hang out with each other and let's just fight through this horrible place. Let's get in a holy huddle together. And oh man, I hope that we can survive this mess. Now it's all of that, but that is not our posture and our attitude. In fact, Jesus says the gates of hell can't prevail against people such as us. Us! People such as us! And here we are, we've got heaven to look forward to, and new earth, and new Jerusalem, and all of these wonderful things, and we keep it to ourselves. We don't share. There's room for everybody, but we're just sitting around worried about how we're going to make it through the day. That's not Jesus' attitude or Jesus' posture. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. In my house, there are lots of rooms. This is what he's talking about. Where I live, there's plenty of space. And I'm going to go, and I'm setting up a place for Jesus like an architect. He's got the city down to every last nut and bolt or whatever they use, or jasper. I don't know how they're doing it. It's Jesus' problem. He's preparing a place for us so that where he goes, that's where we can go. And because of what he has done for us, we can. And listen, we need to be willing to walk over an ocean of Legos to see somebody commit their life to Christ. We will need to do whatever it takes, short of sinning itself, to see somebody come to commit their life to Christ, so that the second death, which is a real thing, doesn't happen to them, so that the second death doesn't happen to our family, to our kids, to our grandkids. We need to be teaching and continuing and working and sharing and loving and letting God work in us and through us and helping people to come to see him, so that that place that they call the bottomless pit, abyss, hell, goes bankrupt. That's what we're about. That place gets emptied, that there's just not one more. Now, the Bible says that it's narrow, this place, and it's wide, the other place. A lot of people go there. A lot of people are being deceived in, and they might call you a few names or chop your head off in some instances as you try to tell them. But you know what? With a head, without a head, you've got heaven, new earth to look forward to. And we will do whatever it takes to tell somebody, don't be a jackwagon, don't be a judgmental jerk. Love people into heaven with you. We're not here to scare the hell out of anybody. We're here to give you heaven. And this is what God has for us. That's why we're here. That's why New Earth, New Jerusalem isn't here yet. God is collecting a family. He's collecting a people to live with him forever and ever and ever. And listen, if you're not one of those, I beg you, I plead with you, I offer you what Jesus offers to you. Come with us. Be there. Don't miss out on all of eternity and trade it in for crap on earth. Because there's a new heaven and there's a new earth a-coming. All of the old will pass away. That means everything you see will be gone. And in that day, it'll be very clear when there's a new heaven and new earth. and all of the things that grab our minds and grab our attention or possessions or whatever, we'll see it in its proper perspective that it didn't matter. What matters is eternal. What matters is this place, this God, this Son of God. And he offers you himself because he gave his life for you. Let's do this. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite you to receive the gift of eternal life right now. And if you've already received it, just pray for those around you that they might have soft hearts to receive Jesus' gift. He died for you. He rose again. He ascended to the Father. He is the Son of God. And you don't have to know a bunch of stuff. You just got to know him. When they're separated out, people, Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not what you do. It's not how you do. It's not religion. Do you know Jesus? It's that simple. And I'm going to invite you to know him right now and commit your life to him. Dear Father, a prayer that you can pray. No magic, no nothing. Dear Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose again from the dead. I believe he is at the right hand of you right now. And I have sinned. So I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside me, to be my God. You be my Lord, and you be my Savior. I receive this gift by faith, by trust in you right now. And as best I know, I offer myself and I invite you to lead my life from now till I die and even on through eternity. Thank you for giving me a home in heaven. Thank you for giving me a home with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray